Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1288. This is your host, Danny Pena, and I'm back here with another episode of GTR. For the rest of the crew, Paris Lilly and Peter, we're going to be back in the future. We're just taking a couple of weeks off. It's summertime. There's not really much to talk about, and we need a break because this year is going to be intense with all these nonstop gamer releases. You know, right now I've been playing Final Fantasy 16. Great game, by the way, on the PS5. And there's other games that I'm playing that I'm not allowed to talk about just yet, but stay tuned. I'm planning to talk about it in the future. So there's going to be more interviews, more content coming up exclusively here on the podcast. We're just taking a break from just getting together and, you know, doing the live recordings and everything. So just for the summer, it's been really busy for everybody. So, but for this episode, we have a couple of interviews. We have one with Ubisoft about the new Assassin's Creed Mirage game. This is coming out later this year. Also, I interviewed the independent developer Inkle. They sat down with me and they talked about their new game, The Highland Song, which is coming out in the future too. So this game was also part of the Tribeca Games Festival. And it's a great conversation. I think you guys are going to like it. Also, there's an unreleased content that I recorded with Paris. And this was recorded during Summer Game Fest. And I talked about my hands-on impressions about Sonic Superstars. A great conversation with him about my thoughts about the game and everything. And the game is amazing, amazing. But just listen to the podcast. It's a great, great conversation that I have there, man. So that's about it for now. For this episode, I'm planning to release more content in the future. There's some hands-on. There's a couple of coverages that I haven't recorded or it's coming up in the future where I'm not allowed to talk about it just yet. But stay tuned. It's going to be available here on the podcast in the future. Now, I just want to say, everybody, thank you for listening to the episode I released last week. It was a surprise episode where I sat down with Colin Kaepernick, you know, legendary football player. And we were playing Wild Card Football. That's a game that's coming out in October, which is a crazy month of, you know, releases with games. But a great conversation. It was just a sit down, you know, us just playing the game and his experience, you know, being part of this project and just the love of games. It was a great conversation. So if you haven't listened to it just yet, go right now to episode 1287. It's available there. That was released a couple of days ago as a surprise. So if you want to watch the full video, it's also on my personal YouTube channel. Just look up Danny Pena is there or go under the description of this episode and go to the channel. Now, another thing I want to mention, because I got this a couple weeks ago, but I just recently posted an unboxing video. I just got the Minecraft Creeper mini fridge. It's awesome. It looks really, really cool. You know, thanks to Microsoft and also the Minecraft team for sending me one. And I'm going to have it in the background. So every time you see me doing a video or in the live stream, you're going to see the mini fridge just sitting there in the back, you know, background and everything. And it's really cool. It's bigger than the Xbox Series X fridge. It's way bigger than that. Because in that one, I believe you could fit six cans of soda or something like that. Or maybe I think up to eight. But this one that I have here, the new one, you could fit up to 12. So it's a lot bigger. It's taller. It's awesome. And so, and it's very, very quiet. Very, very quiet. So highly recommend it. You could go right now and buy it It's just available, I think started a couple of days ago on Walmart. So go check it out. It's really cool. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode. But enjoy the interviews that's coming up for this episode. And please make sure to hit me up on Twitter or any other social media out there. And yeah, enjoy. Plus, continue with our polls. I'm going to ask another question on this one. If you guys are interested to buy the new Assassin's Creed game, very curious about you, about your thoughts about that. Make sure to post on Spotify if you're there. Let me know your thoughts about that, right? So that's going to be the new poll of the week. Are you guys interested in buying Assassin's Creed Mirage? Let me know, okay? All right, so enjoy the episode, and I'll see you next week.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Benjamin Potts, and I'm the animation director on Assassin's Creed Mirage.
Animation director. I noticed because of the presentation, the animation and the world look very, very different than the previous Assassin's Creed games. And it's a new location too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where it takes place now?
So we're actually, we've gone back to the Middle East because in 2007, when the original Assassin's Creed was first launched, they were based in the Middle East. So as a part of the celebration, the kind of back to the roots thing that we're trying to push here, we've gone to Baghdad. In the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And at that time, in the 9th century, Baghdad was very much a center of the region of the world, in fact, in terms of technology, in terms of medicine, in terms of cultural diversity. It was a really important city during that time.
And tell us a little bit about the new character in this game.
So we play as Basim. Mm-hmm. Basim Ibn Ishaq, and we first meet him actually in Valhalla, in the main game there, and we meet him 20 years before, and he is a young street thief, kind of a little bit cunning, bit charming, and the story itself for Mirage is a coming of age narrative. So you see him grow from being on the streets and his journey and quest to become a hidden one.
Yeah, because I think the trailer or the gameplay that you guys showed, you see him when he first started, right? Like,
yeah.
And then I believe he goes to the water, and from there, a couple years pass by, or what after that?
I'm not going to give away too much in the game there,
okay.
Right? But
yeah.
You know what? What can I say? Yeah, I mean, as I said, it's a coming of age story. He starts in Baghdad. He's a street thief. He's desperate to kind of move on with his life, but he's a troubled kid as well. You know, again, I'm not going to give away too much. So, mm-hmm. So the story is very much a driven narrative about, you know, discovering himself, his destiny, and his drive to become part of the Hidden Ones and a master assassin.
And what,
as I said, in Valhalla, you meet him. He's already a master assassin. So
yeah.
We see this journey.
Okay.
Of him getting
okay.
There.
Awesome. Good to know. So is there anything new in this game that wasn't like in the previous games, Assassin's Creed, that you guys added in already? New game mechanics or stuff like that?
Well, I mean, I think the best way for me to answer that is to sort of describe the reason behind why we created this game.
Mm-hmm.
The game Mirage is, you know, we're paying a homage really to the original Assassin's Creed 1, 2, 3, and in fact, really... the whole franchise. It's also our 15-year anniversary for the franchise. So it seemed like a really good opportunity to go back to the feeling, to what it is to be an assassin. So in terms of what do we bring that's new? It's kind of a bit of a mix. We've gone back, like I said, taken a really close look at what it means, what we can do, what we can introduce in terms of. Fight, in terms of stealth, in terms mm-hmm. of parkour, you know, so our core gameplay mechanics, they exist around stealth, assassinations, and parkour, really. So what we've done is really emphasize that in our game, really encourage players to play in a more stealthy fashion.
That's good. I know when I played the Odyssey and what was the other one around that time? Odyssey and the other one. But anyways, when I play that, I felt like
Origins.
There you go.
Origins, Odyssey, and Valhalla.
Yes. So I felt like there was a lot of things to do, and I felt like it was too much.
Yep.
And I felt like also the grind was taking a long time for me, like build up my character. Is that something that are we still going to see that in this game, or is it going to be more laid back and still continue with the main quest, the side quest, and everything like that?
Well, the way we could sort of describe Mirage is a narrative driven action adventure. For sure, there are some light RPG elements in there, but it's really not the same as Valhalla Origins or Odyssey. Mm-hmm. It's a tightly crafted game. We wanted to focus on gameplay, so again, stealth, parkour, assassination, mm-hmm. those are the core elements. It's not the same RPG though, no.
Okay, and what are the things you guys had to do to learn more about Baghdad, to, you know, like the culture and religion? Because that's one thing I love about the previous games is I learned a lot about history of that location, you know. So
what's really great about Assassin's Creed as a franchise, right, is it has the ability to sort of drop into like really important historical times. Mm-hmm. We see this in all of the games, really. And for us in Ubisoft Bordeaux, for example, we worked closely with historians, a cultural diversity experts as well, who would, you know, really help us define what the city was like, the type of people that were living there. Like I said, it was a really culturally important city at the time in 9th century, part of the Abbasid Empire. It was really advanced in terms of astrology, etc., you know, and understanding the world in a bigger way. It was also the crossroads of trade routes for the Silk Road, so it was a meeting of cultures as well at that time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, it's fascinating period of time. In the game itself, there will be opportunities to pick up historical facts, so you can sort of see and learn a little bit yourself about Baghdad.
Yeah, I know you said this is the 15th anniversary of Assassin's Creed. The series is very iconic, man. How important was it for you and the team to make this game right, you know, when it comes with everything, you know?
Yeah, absolutely important. I mean, in Ubisoft Bordeaux, we're really passionate about Assassin's Creed, right? And of course, what with the celebration of 15 years, but also, you know, reacting to the community, to the fans, and right now felt like the right time to do a kind of back to the roots game, you know, to really kind of look back and enjoy what's been done. But you know what, it's also recognizing the entire franchise. We have taken things from more recent games and kind of expanded on them a little bit or adjusted them slightly so they fit our world. So, you know, it's really a celebration of everything.
Yeah, and how big is Baghdad in this game?
So, I mean, I'm not going to give you any numbers in terms of kilometers, et cetera, that. But, you know, I think you could draw a good comparison with Paris or Constantinople, which are maps that we've seen in previous games. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, depending upon your play style, it will last as long as you need it to. So.
I like to take my time.
Yeah.
I like to take my time because I like to explore and discover new things in the game, you know. So how's your style? You like to...
Bit of a completionist, you know. It depends what kind of mood I'm in, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And do a little story here and there. Right?
Actually, what I found with Mirage is I've really enjoyed being an assassin again. You know, we've equipped him with lots of tools, and I get quite addicted to smoke bombs, actually.
Oh, smoke bomb, okay.
Yeah, because I don't know. It's just my thing. I like blasting off a smoke bomb and assassinating people and disappearing. So
now I know you mentioned earlier that he's a thief, right? Mm. A street kid, right?
Yeah.
The streets and everything. Is that something where he's still as a thief?
As an assassin
also?
We actually have a pickpocket feature, which is a part of the kind of the gameplay loop in the wanted system. So you know, you can sneak around. You have to very carefully pickpocket people, and then you can use that currency, obviously, to gain other rewards or pay heralds, for example, to lower your wanted system, your notoriety, and so still useful for him, you know.
Yeah, I know one thing that I noticed from the presentation. You guys brought a bat where he could also disguise himself as a group,
Yep.
Yeah, right. That was in the old, old Assassin's Creed games. We're going to see more of that type of like.
Yeah, absolutely.
This was from back in the day, and so we're bringing it back.
Like we're talking, you know, we really looked at the early games, and one of the key, you know, we took in one of the
Get closer.
Oh, sorry. One of the tenets of Assassin's Creed, right, which is hiding in plain sight. And all of this is to do with social blending, being able to just blend in with the crowd and disappear. So, yes, you know, we took that feature, brought it back into the game. You know, it helps you infiltrate locations or get around guards without being spot. And, you know, it's...
Yeah, and you guys already announced the official date for this one, for this game?
Yep, it's going to be October the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And consoles?
Say again, sorry.
Which consoles?
So the game is going to be on Xbox Series X and S and PS4, PS5, also on PC through Ubisoft Connect and Epic Game Store.
Epic Game Store. Awesome. Yeah. Well, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity, man. I can't wait to try the full version once it comes out later this year.
Thanks for spending your time with me. I'm excited to release the game, you know, so...
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Nah, thanks a lot, man.
No worries. Cool. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Joseph Humphrey. I'm a co-founder of Inkle, and we're making a game called A Highland Song.
Oh, yeah. So A Highland Song. Well, first of all, congrats. That I know you guys were part of the Tribeca Games Festival and everything. How was that experience, by the way, for you?
Yeah, it was fantastic. I loved it as a festival, and the showcase video that they put out onto the internet was like something that I haven't really seen very much across the whole game industry. Like you get trailers being played on various platforms and on websites, but this was quite unique that it was almost like a documentary that they made, that they made like a 5 minutes like documentary video for each game that was featured. And that was like such a privilege to be a part of that. Then the fact that we were able to fly over to New York and then go into this exhibition space where you could see all of the games being featured was like a really incredible experience and great fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I know this is a platform adventure game, right? Highland Song. So tell us a little bit about that for those that don't know about the game.
So we've got a bit of a history of... blending genres, I suppose. In some ways it's like not a crazy genre, mm-hmm. but it's difficult to describe, like all of our games for some reason. So it's kind of a slightly open world 2D platformer, but it's very story rich with a strong narrative, because our studio is known for making like story-based games that are really kind of rich and give you a lot of expressive freedom to make choices. But this is the first time we've made a more kind of gamey game, I suppose, in that it's the first game that's had a jump button that we've made in like 10 years. So it's quite unusual for us. It's kind of like it's semi-open world, in that you're trying to cross the Scottish Highlands. So you've been sent a letter by your Uncle Hamish, and he's told you you need to cross the Scottish Highlands on foot, and there's a surprise waiting for you in his lighthouse by the sea. So it's up to you to like find a route across the Scottish Highlands, and you have to clamber over mountains and scale rock faces. So there's kind of influences of... Breath of the Wild. In some ways it's almost like a 2D Breath of the Wild, but then there's also elements of rhythm action as well. So like when you're running through the valleys, sometimes some Scottish folk music kicks in and you have to jump to the rhythm of the music. So it's got a little bit of everything in it.
Yeah. So why this location? Was there a reason, any inspirations of why you wanted to?
Yeah, so I actually grew up in Scotland. And in fact, as a teenager, well, to rewind a little bit further, I had a school teacher in junior school who took a bunch of kids up into the Scottish Highlands, and we had the freedom to explore a bit. And ever since, I've had a love of the kind of the wild landscape there, because it's really untamed compared with a lot of regions around the world, like even the European Alps, although they're like huge mountains, they're quite tame in some ways, because mm-hmm. the Germans and the Austrians and the Swiss, they make these beautiful paths that are very well signposted with lots of roads going through. So you're never going to get like very lost. Whereas, although the Scottish Highlands, they don't have such big mountains. It's more of a wilderness. It's much easier to get lost there and to get into some real danger. So I loved spending time in that landscape as a child. And then as a teenager, I went up with a bunch of friends, and we got very lost as we were kind of coming down one of the mountains, and it was getting dark, and we got more and more lost. And eventually a deer stalker, it's like a hunter, found us and drove us over the mountains in his Land Rover, and dropped us off on top of a mountain as it was like really quite dark, but closer to our start point. And we were kind of stumbling down through forests and through rivers and stuff until we eventually made it back. But it was a pretty scary experience, but very influential and useful for video game design.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Now I see a piano in the back. So was it you that worked on the soundtrack? Was it somebody else from Allsource or what?
So it's a couple of different, like we're all interested in music, we wanted to have a really musical focus in the game. But so there's two musicians. There's like Lawrence Chapman, who's this classical composer who's composed music for our past games, and that forms the kind of the underlying soundtrack, which is quite orchestral. But then we've also worked with two incredible Scottish folk bands called Talisk and Fourth Moon, who are quite well known. In some ways they're a kind of a niche, but they're also a really well-known niche with YouTube videos with like millions of views. So if you know them, you absolutely adore them. And they're incredible musicians. And they produce these really lively modern Scottish folk songs. And that's what we're using for the rhythm action elements in the game.
Yeah, so when you were working on this, did the composers, was it like right away, like, okay, this is it? Or it took some time to find like the right composers to work on like the music for this game?
So for all of our previous games, we've always composed music from scratch for the games. And so that's what Lawrence Chapman has been doing for all of our previous games. And he's done a bit on this game as well for the original tracks. And we were planning on composing our own music for these rhythm sections in the game. Mm-hmm. But it just, if you kind of get someone from outside of the kind of the Scottish folk genre to try to compose something, it's just never going to have the same level of authenticity and the liveliness a musician who kind of lives and breathes in that genre. And so I'd been increasingly listening to a load of music from this genre just for this video game, and then slowly becoming a fan outside of my work on the game and just loving the genre. And Talisk was the band that I loved more than any others. But I had this kind of trepidation because we'd approached musicians in the past about licensing tracks, and weirdly we found it cheaper to hire someone to write original music than to license tracks, because of the way the industry's set up, and you have these, you know, music labels who sit between, they're like the agents who sit between the composers and or the musicians and the licenses, and they usually make it prohibitively expensive. But thankfully, when we were working, when we contacted Mohsen Amini, who's the band leader of Talisk, as well as the other band in the game, Fourth Moon, it turns out he's an independent musician who doesn't work with labels, which has been fantastic for us because it's basically meant that we could negotiate directly with the creator of the music and come to an understanding that wasn't going through middlemen, basically. And that's allowed us to be able to create a deal that's fair for both sides and that works for both of us, and allowed us to license this incredible music catalog that Talisk and Fourth Moon have got. So yeah, we're super happy with the music that they've supplied for the game.
Yeah, I know usually when games get selected for Tribeca's games that hasn't been released yet, right? And is this something where are you guys releasing this year? Is this like in the future? And also, are we going to see this in all consoles and also PC? Or just going to go first with PC first and then go from there?
So it's coming out on both PC and Switch, and we're aiming at releasing it later this year. So it's it's coming soon. We don't like to say exactly when because we'll probably get it wrong. we're getting very close. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely see this on the Switch, man, especially on the go. This type of game, yeah. I think fits really, really well for the Switch, man. Yeah. So that's good. That's good to hear.
That was kind of one of the original inspirations that I'd been playing Breath of the Wild and a couple of indie games as well on my Switch. And, you know, I think I'd probably just finished Breath of the Wild and I was sitting back and I just wanted to play like a chill, like adventure, but also something that's exhilarating, not something that's like walk to the table, open the drawer, take out the key, walked over here, like, you know, like something that had a bit more pace to it, but also like exhilarating adventure as well as a rich narrative. And it was just like that's feeling that I wanted to have when playing a game on my own sofa with my own Switch. And so that was sort of like partly the genesis of like wanting to make a game like this.
Yeah, and how's it been like the experience, you know, showing this game for the first time to the public, you know, in New York City during the festival? How was that
for you? Oh, it was incredible. Yeah, it was wonderful being able to like talk to people who'd play the game and just, you know, when you've been working on a game in your own, you know, without having shown anyone before, you sort of never quite know how it's going to come across. But then when you see people play it and you see the smiles on their faces, it really kind of makes it feel real and kind of gives us the motivation to finish it off and release it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the best part about working on any project. Doesn't matter what it is, when somebody from the outside, you know, try it out or watch it or play it for the first time and you see them, their reaction, that's like, it feels really, really good.
Yeah. It's really special. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So what else, like what, like for those that, you know, are still like on the fence, like, hey, I don't know much about this game. Why do you think they should try this game out once it releases later this year, hopefully later this year?
It's a game for people who maybe have kind of maybe like I find that it's a great game if you've played a lot of like shooters or whatever in the past and you feel like you've maybe moved on and you want to try something a bit more chill, a bit more cozy, but also rich and exhilarating. Like it's a game it's non-violent. It doesn't have. Like I enjoy shooters as much as the next guy, but sometimes you just want to play a game where you're exploring nature, you're climbing mountains, and generally just having a great time in the wilderness. So
that's good. I'll
give it a try.
Yeah, I tried the game out. It's very relaxing, by the way. It's very chill. Yeah, it's really cool, and I can't wait to see this once it comes out to the public. Especially, I want to see, like, because look, the thing is with like Nintendo fans, especially Nintendo Switch fans, they are very, very different than the usual console gamers, you know, like other platforms.
Exactly.
they will go out and support indie games like crazy, man. So I'm very curious to see the reaction once it comes out, you know, officially and everything, man, for that platform.
Yeah, I love that Switch as a platform because it's got that great like combination of being brilliant for indie players, as well as being like this, you know, professional console that's, you know, it's a pick up and play platform where you can buy something, download it, and just start playing immediately without fussing with any settings or whatever. Like, we always release on PC and it's a really big market for us, but my heart's on the Switch for sure.
Yeah, definitely. No, man, Joseph, thanks so much for the chat, and good luck with the project, man. I can't wait to hear more once it gets close to the release.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
No problem.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're live here at Summer Game Fest, and we just got to check out Sonic Superstars, which was the game that stood out to us during the press conference yesterday. And shout out to Sega for giving us the opportunity to check it out. So, Paris, I play the Sonic, and this old school Sonic bears a lot of new stuff that I wasn't expecting to be part of the game. One is, besides Sonic running around, you know, doing all these stuff, there's also elements that you carry with you in the character, and you can select that. Like, let's say I'm close to like a water level or water area. I press the water using their analog right stick. Once I select, it will help me to discover new areas, or maybe I could go to like a certain place where I can't go if I'm just running around. And this, the other one that Paris discovered was the, I think it was like an arrow that will help you to go to like a certain area too. So that's new. I think there's going to be other ones, maybe fire and all these other ones that we haven't seen yet. And another part too is, remember the old school Sonic, Paris, when you get those big rings and you go to like a hidden area, like a bonus stage, you could collect rings and diamonds. So there's multiple of that, and it's very different. Instead of the one that I played, is there's balls all over and you're swinging, you pick up the ball and you swing. It's kind of like still 2D but a little bit of 3D view, and that was very interesting. I didn't really like it that much. I like the old bonus stage. This one was okay. And after that, they took me to this level where it was still considered bonus stage, but I had to use my water element to climb up, because you see Sonic swimming that stage. But then I got out quickly, so I don't know how it's going to be. Sorry. I don't know how it's going to be after a few levels later on, but I know you got to play it. There was one part that I got stuck. There was like a little mini boss, completely stuck there for like a good 5 minutes or so. Once I finished it, then you see the what's his name, Dr. Eggman.
Yeah,
you see him as a robot, and that was cool. But now, your thoughts, because you got to play a little bit. There was a crazy stage, and it was like a forest level.
Yeah,
how was it for you?
Oh, I mean, it was great. And obviously, I just kind of just jumped in briefly, like right in the middle, so I didn't understand the new mechanics that were in there. But it was still fun. I mean, it felt like Sonic, but had those added mechanics and elements to it, added a new challenge for it. And like you said, that was in that forest level. It was kind of a maze, and, you know, Sonic hitting the speed. It was great. Sign me up.
Day one. Now, your thoughts of them taking this 2D, but still with, like, now
I love
graphics.
It. I love it. Right? That's, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because usually we've been playing a lot of the 2D version, but it's like an 8-bit graphics. But I like the change of this, man.
Yeah.
I haven't tried out the other characters at all. I only try out Sonic.
Right, because Tails, Knuckles,
all of them are there, man. So, and also, in this version, it wasn't available to play multiplayer. I'm still curious to see how
four
players going to work out.
I am too.
Is it going to be too chaotic on the screen? How's that going to work? Is it online, offline? We got to learn more about that. But that's about it, my thoughts of Sonic Superstars. I enjoyed it. I'm really going to go and play this on day one, man. For you too?
Yeah, 100%. Day one.
I think this is the perfect game for the Switch.
Yeah, because they even said that when we were watching it at Keeley's show. And when they said, so I'll go, it's on the Switch. I go, perfect.
Well, I also play on the Steam Deck because this is also coming on PC. So, but thank you for listening. And we're going to have a lot more content coming up. So stay tuned. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.